This podcast is brought to you by lilybadcock.com and The Confidence Academy, giving you the confidence to be who you truly are. This is the Confidence Academy podcast. My name is Lily Badcock, and I am a transformational confidence coach, and I'm here with a message for you. The anxiety and overwhelm you've been experiencing is not something to be feared or avoided. It's also not something that gets to define who you are as a person. No matter who you are, no matter what your story is, I know that you get to live a life of fulfillment and joy. It's my absolute pleasure to bring this podcast series to you in collaboration with some phenomenal people from all over the world who have walked the same path as you. Together, we will share our stories, our challenges, and our triumphs, with the intention of helping you to see that it's possible for you too. Anxiety may be something you live with, but it doesn't get to define who you are or how you live your life. So stand by for some powerful conversations, deep realizations, and the occasional F-bomb. So get those headphones in if you're around sensitive ears, and stand by. This is gonna be fun. Hey you guys! Hands up if you're a Goonies fan. If you're not, you'll have no idea what I just said. Anyway, it doesn't matter anyway, because this episode has nothing to do with the Goonies, but it does have everything to do with the one and only Lisa Johnson. Now, if you don't know Lisa, you're in for a real treat. I met Lisa back in early 2020, before the entire world shut down, at the launch of the collaborative book that I co-authored called Notes to My Younger Self. And Lisa was one of the guest speakers. We connected in the bar over a plate of chips, and the rest is history. Now, Lisa's story is an incredibly inspiring one, but unlike many of the coaches you find on social media these days, Lisa is as real as they come. Authentic is her middle name, and it is that unfiltered, raw truth that is so infectious to me and everyone else that comes into her space. I'll say no more, because it's all here in the episode. Now, just before I go, I wanted to invite you to join my mailing list. I'm going to pop the link in the show notes, but if you sign up, you can get a daily dose of channeled inspiration straight to your inbox, and you will also get a free soul activation meditation download when you sign up. Phew, that's all for now. Enjoy the episode, and of course, please get in touch via the Facebook group with your questions and comments. And now that really is it. Ladies and gentlemen, this is Lisa Johnson. Hi guys, welcome back to the Confidence Academy podcast. And I am joined today by a young lady called Lisa Johnson. Now, this is unlike a lot of the people that I have on this podcast, because a lot of the people that I interview are not people that I've ever met in person. But I actually did meet Lisa earlier this year at, well, it was my book launch. I'll say my book launch. It was a joint book launch. For those of you that have been listening for a while, you'll know that I co-collaborated on a book. And Lisa was one of the speakers there. So that's where we met. And Lisa has such a brilliant story. And I know that she's such an advocate for anti-bullying. And it was something that I really wanted to have a conversation around on this podcast. So Lisa, welcome to the show.
Thanks. That's the first time anybody's ever called me a young lady for ages. Can you just introduce me to all people all the time, please?
Young lady, you are a young lady. If you're not young, that means I'm not young, and I'm not here for that. I'm not ready for that yet.
I feel like I hit 40 and decided I wasn't young anymore, which is ridiculous.
Yeah, I think I stayed there for a minute. There was a moment in New Look where I looked around and was like, there are no clothes here for me. And I was like, what are you on about? Buy some clothes, don't you say? Yeah. So yeah, it's definitely a mindset thing. But I know we met earlier this year before the craziness of COVID. And obviously off air, we were just saying about, I don't know what happened. I don't know if it was the fact me and Lisa met that then kicked this entire world, you know, pandemic off. Could have been an energy thing, who knows. But we met back then, and I know that you do a lot of work around anti-bullying. You're very, very vocal about standing up for people that are going through that. And it was a conversation that I wanted to bring onto this podcast. And I know that it's something that you have suffered with yourself. And I know that anxiety is a huge part of what you deal with. Yeah. And I just wanted to have this conversation because I think there's a real perception still of the type of person that might have a mental health issue or a bullying issue or anything like that. I think, you know, even if somebody
is going through it, we still, like, I have this, right? So I have anxiety. I think I still have prejudices in my mind where I think, I'll even say, but I'm not that kind of person. So yeah. I wanted to come in with this angle of, like, there is no kind of person. Like, there's just no, there is no blueprint for that.
No.
And that's where I wanted to go with this. So just let the people know who you are, first of all. Introduce yourself so they know who I'm speaking to, and then we'll go from there.
Yeah, so I'm a business owner. I've been a business owner for about 3.5 years in my current business, which is helping people with passive and semi-passive income to do with things like memberships and courses. I'm also a mum of 9-year-old twins, and I'm someone that likes to travel a lot, and they're the kind of things that define me, the things that I do. But as with all of us, we have a backstory, and we I think that more people than ever have these kind of mental health issues, whether it's anxiety, depression, whether things have happened to us, whether things trigger them or not. And I started talking openly about my mental health issues probably about 2.5 years ago, when I mentioned to somebody online that I suffered with anxiety and depression. And the shock that came from that was, I mean, I never thought anything of it, but the shock of, well, you can't do because you seem to have your stuff together, because you're always online, because you show up, because you know how to do this. And I kind of thought, God, is that what people think? Do people really think that if you've got if you seem to have your stuff together, because no one really does, do they? We're all just like walking around not knowing what we're doing. But you know what I mean? If you seem to be able to do certain things, then it's almost as if you can't have those things. You can't have a mental health issue. And what worried me about that at the time was that if people think that about me, there are some much stronger outwardly looking people that I know that are definitely going through mental health issues. And if people kind of thought, well, they must be okay because they're functioning okay, then they wouldn't get help. They wouldn't get the help they need. And I'm quite good at asking for help, but not everybody is. Mm. But you know, I've been told I'm a high functioning sufferer of anxiety and depression, which means that whereas with some people, it would stop them and you would visibly notice that they aren't able to carry on doing the things they do, I actually go the other way and do more because it stops me thinking about it and it's a distraction. But it doesn't mean that I'm not feeling exactly the same way inside. So I think it became really important for me then to show that anybody can have these things, and it's not just people that you feel always looking sad or always seem to be having problems. It just doesn't work that way.
Yeah, that's such an important point to make. And I think, you know, on top of that, then not only must there be so many people that are suffering that maybe people don't know, but also there must be a subconscious belief that you can't achieve a certain thing if you've got that. And I know that that was my thing. Like when I got told I had anxiety, I immediately was like, oh, so all those goals I've set and all that stuff I want to do, I can't do now because I'm an anxious person. Like, you can't be both. And I think I'm like you. I'm definitely high functioning. And I know that, well, I've been thrown out of anxiety groups. I go in there, they look at my profile picture and they go, you don't have anxiety. You put makeup on today. Like,
yeah, you're too confident. You're too confident to have a mental health issue. I've definitely had that. And I think you're right. I've never felt that it would stop me doing anything. But I've had lots of different things happen in my life that should really have stopped me if you look at it on face value, and it hasn't. And I think that's why. I think if you've been through some things, then when more things pile on, it doesn't really stop you doing things, and you kind of have a mental mindset where, well, it's not going to stop me doing anything. It almost is the opposite. And I think that's not a bad thing, but I don't want people to be thinking, oh, I've been diagnosed with like depression, therefore I can't, whatever it is that they want to achieve in life, I can't do that. Because actually it doesn't have to mean that at all. If you broke your leg, you wouldn't say, oh, I can't do, you know, I can't have a business now because I've broken my leg. It's exactly the same. It's just one small part of you. It's not
Absolutely. And, you know, and like you've just used that example of a broken leg, like with a broken leg, you then address the issue. You don't go hobbling around on your broken leg pretending it's not broken. I'm guessing that's not going to work. You get the help you need. You give yourself the support. You sit down and put your leg up when you need to. But you're right. People don't break their leg and then write off their entire life. But it's just, it's been such an age-old thing with mental health. Like, I know back in the olden days, like proper olden days, where people were actually thrown in sort of asylums because people didn't understand it. They thought, at some point, people even thought that they were these like supernatural, they'd been overtaken by devils and like demons. And it was just this real absolute misunderstanding. And the irony being that probably the people that were throwing those people in those places were probably suffering themselves as well, and then having to hide it for fear of having the same thing happen to them.
Yeah, and we know now, don't we, that there's more people being diagnosed with it than ever. And I don't think that means that there's more people with it, although it could be because of the pressures that we have now. I think actually there always was a lot of people with it. They just, the stigma attached to it meant that they wouldn't get help. And I'm hopeful that the stigma is less now. I think it's less. I feel like I've never really had a problem with telling people, whether it's my clients or anyone else, that I suffer with mental health issues, because it's never really made a difference. But I know some people still feel there's that stigma there and they shouldn't talk about it. I'm hoping that with podcasts like yours, that changes things.
Yeah, I think you're right. I do think it's changing. But being really honest, I know when I first got told I had anxiety, I felt I had to hide it because I was working with children at the time. I was running my own performing arts school. And so I immediately thought, oh my God, no one's going to send their children to someone who's mentally unstable. That's how I was seeing myself, you know?
Yeah.
Like, nobody's going to want me teaching their kids if they think that I'm about to have a breakdown. That was the first thing. And I had a similar experience to you in that I just inadvertently shared one day. I didn't even plan to do it. I just happened to splurt out, oh yeah, because I have anxiety, to one of the mums whose kids was coming. She went, oh my God, that's brilliant. And I was like, what? She was like, I suffer with that. She said, my kids suffer with it as well. They don't know anyone else that has that. If they know that you've got it, please, can I tell them? And I was like, well, yeah, like it is what it is. You telling someone isn't going to make any difference. But I immediately felt seen. I immediately felt less shame, less afraid. And that was what started this whole thing of, right, well, then I'm just going to tell everybody. Where I think the stigma is, what I think the stigma is now becoming, though, and I've experienced this as well, is now there are lots of people who got diagnosed, started to do some mindset work, found a way to cope, when I'm going to start a business, I'm going to tell, or I'm going to start a podcast, or I'm going to write a blog, and I'm going to tell everyone how to overcome this. And then, oh, what do you know? You get hit with it again. The shame of that happened to me earlier this year. I was like, oh my God, I've set this whole thing up now. I do a podcast. I tell people they can thrive in spite of it. And here I am in my bed sobbing because I can't even get up out from under my duvet. Like, oh my God. And that could take you down. Now, luckily, I was like, I'm just not available for that. And I'm a little bit like you. I've watched you online and I know that you're very much flying the flag for, let's just be real. Like, you actually actively go against anybody that tries to go, oh, you know, I love that your lifestyle looks like this or that. You're like, no, hang on. Like, that was one photo on one day. Like, let me just give you a list of what was going on around that, you know?
I do.
You're one of the only people I see that actually does that. And there are plenty of people who preach about being real and who definitely talk about, oh, it's not all you see. I think it's one thing to talk about it. It's a very other thing to actually show people, and you're actually showing people.
Because it's, the reason people don't, I do get it. There's a vulnerability in showing people the realities of something. You know, it's very easy for me to show me in an amazing place that I'm going to for work or with my kids. It's much harder to say, while I was in that amazing place and you were thinking I was having a great time, this stuff was going on in the background, which was really hard for me to deal with. But if we don't do that, then all we're doing is continuously perpetuating a lie. And that makes us accomplices in that lie of pretending that life is this perfect thing. And that if we have, I don't know, money or a great relationship or anything else, that it means that all of our worries disappear. And that's just a lie. And I don't want people to think that that's true, because actually we can thrive, but we can thrive without needing everything to be perfect. It can be absolutely okay, you know, without any of those things.
100%. And, you know, you're so right. I think you know, the age of social media, Instagram, where we're encouraged to put these pictures up. I took a snap the other day while we were out on a family walk, and it was such a beautiful picture. And I went to put it, I think I might have even put it on Instagram, but as I posted it, I was like, if only people could actually see what it took to get this picture. Because on the picture, it was this autumn walk with my husband walking along, and he had my little girl Sophia, and the two boys were up a tree, and it just looked idyllic. The reality was my husband was whinging because he didn't want to go out and it was cold. Sophia just kept falling down every 2 seconds and picking up every bit of stick. Freddie had picked up a stick covered in dog shit within 3 seconds of getting out of the car. And my eldest son, Louis, who is currently being assessed for autism, was walking along going, bullshit, bullshit, like constantly. And I was just like, that's not what this picture shows. That picture does not show any of this. And it would be so easy for me to go, oh, look, I had a perfect family walk in the park. And, you know, if I'm honest, that's probably what I did. But anyone that complimented me on it, I was like, let me just tell you.
Let's tell you what really happened. And do you know what? You're doing the right thing there. Because what I've really noticed over the last couple of years is that at the beginning, when I started my business, people would tell me, you know, people want your life. So you need to show them what that life is, that whole lifestyle you can get. And, you know, whether it's on a first class flight or whether it's in an idyllic location, whatever that is, you need to show it. And I thought to myself, when I look for mentors, if I see a mentor that seems to have a perfect life, I think, well, they're not like me because I don't have one. I don't want to be taught by someone that's so different from me. And so actually, by just showing what's real, and all I've ever done is just show the truth, and that gets me into trouble sometimes, but that's what I'm about. So I will show the truth, whatever that may be. And what that's done is it's actually made me have a much better business, a business that people come to because they kind of see and they go, well, she's doing okay, she's got some of the life that I want, but she's also got some of the crap that goes with that, which
yes,
I think people know deep down that there is no such thing as a perfect life, and there is no such thing as idyllic, that you're going to have bad with good. And the reason that why we really appreciate the good is because it's not always there. And that's why we have happiness. And actually, if we just, what you were talking about before is such a great thing to talk about, like we believe that we have to overcome something, and then when we've overcome it, we can tick the box and go, well, I've overcome my anxiety. And actually, that's not real life either. And what's brilliant about having things like anxiety is that you're always working. You're always working to try and help yourself with it, whether that be working on your mindset or whether that be actually you're feeling a bit rubbish at some point. But you know you'll get back up again. And that's a much better thing to show than it's overcome, because then people, the expectations are different. I actually think most unhappiness in the world comes from having expectations that aren't real. If we
just give
ourselves real expectations, then actually we can't really be unhappy.
Yeah, I so agree with that. 100% agree with that. It is, it's the expectation we put on ourselves. And I was thinking of this the other day. I've just started doing this just self-inflicted really experiment. I'm doing a 30-day wealth consciousness experiment, and I'm documenting it on my Instagram, and I'm basically just focusing on it every single day, journaling, affirmations, doing all the things they say to do to see what actually changes in 30 days. And the thing I realized very early on was that actually money doesn't matter to my soul at all. Money matters because it matters in the world. Like, you need to have money to buy stuff and whatever, but it's become such a powerful force. And actually, it's just piles of paper that we've given so much meaning to. And I think, you know, through my journaling, just I'm only on day 5 today, but through my journaling already, I've become really aware of my own perceptions around that, and that how small I felt in the company of certain people sometimes when I know that they've got money and I know I don't, right? Right now, and I hate that some people perceive me as someone that is doing well as far as money goes. It's not the truth at all. I'm driving a beat up car right now that I don't even know how it still runs. I don't know how it still runs. You know, there are bills that don't get paid. There's things we can't afford. This morning, my 9-year-old told me He's not excited for Christmas because he wants a PlayStation. He knows that Santa doesn't bring big gifts like that, and he knows that we're too poor. That's what he told me. Because we've tried, like, we bought them a Switch years ago, and we told them on Christmas Day, this is from Mummy and Daddy. Santa doesn't do big things like this. Like, you know, because we didn't want to stitch up all our friends who had kids who were like, wait, I got a pair of pyjamas, what gives? So we've always sort of had that. But I was like, oh, it's devastating. What he doesn't know is actually one of our relatives was selling a secondhand one, and we have managed to get him one.
Oh, amazing.
So it's going to be beautiful on Christmas Day. But do you know what? It was like, oh my God, it's that perception of money and that perception of, I've definitely felt like I'm not worth anything just because I don't have this thing called money.
Take it from me that when that changes and it goes the other way around, you will feel shame and guilt the other way, and that you're not worth anything because you have money. It's not money.
Brilliant.
Honestly, it's exactly the same. And you know me, you know where I've come from, and that I had no money. You know, we were on the poverty line for a long, long time, and that it's only been in the last 3 years that I've been able to make money. That I now have people say, make me feel exactly the same for having money as you feel for not having money. So it doesn't make a difference. I always thought it would, until I got there and realized that, God, money really is just energy. It's just what we put onto it. It means absolutely nothing. It doesn't make you happier. Can it open more opportunities? Of course it can. And they're great things to have experiences in, but it hasn't made me happier in any way. In fact, it is brought with it a load of new problems that you don't have without it. So you've just got to see it for what it is. It's not the be all and end all of anything.
Yeah, and I love that. And of course, you know, I do know where you've come from. For those people listening who maybe don't know you, where did you come from? Well, because I know you started this business 3 years ago, so let's go back 3.5 years, maybe 4 years. Where were you before this turned around for you?
So 4 years ago, I was £30,000 in debt. I had always been sort of living hand to mouth as much as I could. I grew up in a council estate in Lincolnshire. And so, you know, I'd never really had money, and I tried, I'd done all the things. I'd been bullied as a child, and so I hadn't managed to sort of get very good GCSEs and things like that. But I'd always tried. I'd started off as an office junior and sort of worked my way up in things, but always found myself in situations where I wasn't really earning anything or I was in debt. And so, yeah, for 4 years ago, I was 30,000 in debt. And now, 4 years later, just finished off a year where we made 3 million in sales. Yeah. So it has changed a lot. My life has changed a lot when it comes to like the financial side of things, but like not much else. Like, I know you think that when you make that kind of money, everything must change. And I know that this is true because I was in a group of people the other day, and someone said I must be lying about making that much money, because why would I be in a Facebook group? As if like suddenly you just buy a yacht and travel the world and not do any of the things that you did before. Like, people take the mickey out of me because I'm in New Look. You know, they go, I saw you in New Look, you were shopping in New Look. And I'm like, of course I do, I like the clothes in New Look. Like, I'm not going to suddenly change my entire personality because I've got a bit of money. It doesn't work that way. But, you know, I'm shamed in groups all the time, like if I tell people how much I earn. And I'm a big advocate for talking about money because I think that takes the stigma away from women earning, and so I talk about it a lot. But I get shamed for doing that as much as I got shamed before for not having any.
So interesting. And I love that we've dropped that now. I deliberately, you guys listening might have noticed that I was stumbling my words a little bit right at the beginning, which is not like me. And it's because I deliberately didn't want to tell you who Lisa Johnson is. If you already know, then you know. But I knew that if I came in and telling you that I had a £3 million business owner on the podcast, so many of you would have just switched off and gone, well, I can't relate to that. It's like you were saying earlier, right? People would just hear that and go, oh, well, you know, good for you. You've got that business or whatever. I don't have that. You know, if you follow Lisa for 30 seconds, you're going to see what she's come from, what she goes through, and still what you go through. Like, you know, I mentioned earlier that you're a huge advocate for anti-bullying, and you mentioned you were bullied in school. You are bullied still, like getting your money, having your business, getting your house, like that hasn't changed bullying behavior.
No, it's made it worse.
It's made it worse. Let's just talk about bullying for a minute. I feel like there are so many tangents we can go on. But let's just talk about bullying for a minute. Why do you think people bully others?
honestly, I think in one sentence, hurt people hurt people. I honestly think that's why. And I never used to think this. So in the first couple of years, I would spout out things like, they're bullying me because they're jealous, because it's usually other coaches that bully me or consultants, online businesses. They're doing it because they're jealous. They're doing it because they're threatened, because the kind of things they say kind of would make you think that. So they might say things like, I'm lying about how much I make, or I've copied them, or I've made money too quickly and therefore I will disappear just as quickly. Those kind of things used to make me think that it was they're threatened by me, they're jealous by me. And I realized recently in the last year that it isn't anything to do with that. That's the surface of it. But actually, people don't feel threatened or jealous by anyone unless they are going through something. You know, when you see a successful, happy person, they're generally happy for another successful, happy person. They don't immediately go, oh, well, I don't like her then. But the people that do, they do it because they're worried about something. And usually they're worried because they've got their own mindset issues around money, or they've got their own issues around thinking that, you know, maybe they are no longer the top of what they see as a hierarchy in their industry, because other people who are maybe younger than them are coming up. That must not feel good. You know, I totally get how these things can hurt people. Or maybe, you know, I had somebody once say to me that they didn't mind me talking about money, but what really triggered them, and they admitted this, what irritated them is they didn't like it that I seemed to have money and a personal life, you know, with a really supportive partner. And they didn't have that. They had the money, but they thought to have the money, they'd have to give up having it, you know, and that was their trigger in them. Whereas when they started sort of being nasty to me, I'd be going, oh my God, what have I done? What have I said? It's never about you. It's always about something that they are going through. So if you see it like that, suddenly everything changes for you and you realize that actually you should feel sad for them then. You know, it's not about feeling angry at them or wanting to hit back. I used to be very defensive and do those posts on social media where you're all defensive and you don't say the person, but you're like, someone said this to me and they bullied me in a group and they were talking about me, and you never say who it is. And I just thought, what's that doing? All that's doing is laying even more on them. They already won't feel good about what they're doing. They can't do internally. And so I don't want to put more on their plate. What I'd rather happen is they eventually one day realize that it's coming from their own mirror.
Yeah, so true. I think I would even go a step further, because, you know, I mean, I've just said I don't have money at the moment, and actually I find you hugely inspiring and I love to follow people that are doing it, because I already know that it's possible for me. And I know I'm on that journey, and I just choose to surround myself with people, whether it be virtually or real, that have done the things I want to do. I've always been that kind of person. But I actually think it's a self-worth issue, because even in my deepest struggles, I just wouldn't ever feel even compelled to do that. And I'm not saying that because I want people to go, oh, you're such a good person. It's not that. It's because I see my value. I see my worth. I know that I'm a valuable human being, even if I'm driving a banger of a car. And I know that someone else, this is a crucial thing. I understand that somebody else winning in anything doesn't mean that I can't. And I think this is the misconception. And I heard an analogy once that I loved, which was, that's like saying, oh, I'd better catch myself a cold because I haven't had a cold in a while. And if I catch a cold, someone else won't have that cold. It's a load of bollocks. You're either going to get the cold or you're not, right? You can make money or you can't make money. You having money doesn't mean someone else can't have money. And you not having money doesn't mean someone else shouldn't. Like, none of it's relative. This is all about just knowing what's possible for you in your life and knowing that you can go after it, finding the people you resonate with. Like, people will trigger us. You know, there are people that trigger me.
Me too.
I've learned actually to look at why does that trigger me? Why is that pissed me off? You know,
You can use it for good. Like, if I see something that triggers me now, my immediate thought is, what have they got that I want? What should I be working towards? Because if that's triggering me, it usually means I want something about them that they have. Yeah. Which is a great thing to know, isn't it? It's great to know. It's a great signal to you to, instead of going, oh, why am I annoyed at that? You know, like, think, what does it mean for me? What do I want to get to? But I think you're really right when you talk about there is more than enough for everybody. One person winning doesn't mean the other person loses, but I think where it comes from is from such a young age, women especially are pitted against women. We're told that, you know, one person gets the guy. One person gets the best grade in the class. One person gets the part in the school play. It's always one person. And so we're in a competition from birth practically to get something. And so when we're older, it's really hard for us to then go, well, no, we can all do well. We can all win. We feel like we're still in that competition, and because that's how we've grown up. And I think it's really changing that mindset around things.
Yeah, I agree. I see it in my kids, you know. Louis will come out of school and he'll go, oh, well, but Freddie got an award today. Like, and I didn't get an award, so now I'm sad. And I was like, but that doesn't mean you didn't have a great day. Like, him getting an award doesn't mean you're not going to get an award. Like, it doesn't mean that at all. And I think our kids are such a brilliant source of lessons for us. The amount of times that I'll say things to my kids, and as I'm saying it, I'm like, oh, no, wait a minute. I don't believe that, you know? I get very confused because I have a very abundant mindset. Like, you know, when Louis said earlier, we're poor, I was like, I don't agree. I don't feel poor at all. I understand that money isn't always there, but I feel very wealthy in my mindset and in my life, very, very wealthy. But, you know, I'll often hear myself saying to the kids, oh, you can't have what you want. And then in my head, I'm like, oh, but I think they can have what they want. How do you convey that to a 9-year-old?
Oh, it's really hard. It's really hard. Yeah, because we're supposed to, like, money mindset was my biggest thing as a child. And so my parents saying things like money doesn't grow on trees and you can't have that really made me find it hard to make money when I was older. And so I'm trying not to do that to my twins, but I also don't want them to become spoiled brats. So I'm in this limbo of I don't want to say to them, well, you can't have that because the money is there to have it. I just don't want them to have it because I want them to learn the value of, you know, not being able to have anything you want. It's a real tightrope. I'm still learning.
Yeah, as we all are. And I just wanted to, there's a couple of things I want to touch on before I let you go. And first of all, just to stay in this vein of our kids being such beautiful lessons for us, I do want to talk about your twins because you shared a couple of things recently on social media. Obviously, they're twins, so, you know, they were born at the same time. Just let everyone know about the differences that you've noticed in your kids as they've got older.
Oh, they're completely different in every single way. So, yes, they're both 9-year-old boys. One is very into karate and boyish, what you might think of as boyish things. But the other one wants to wear a tutu and likes his dance lessons and wishes he was a girl. And that's what he's all about. And so we have gone with that and just let them be who they are, you know, without labels, just seeing what's going to happen, you know, what will happen with each of them. But they're completely tolerant of each other. Yeah. And, of you know, they're not tolerant as in they bicker every day about normal things as kids do. But, you know, one of them does not care that the other one goes to school in a pink coat with unicorn hair grips in his very long hair. He's not bothered. He's like, I don't care, but can do what he likes, you know. Yeah. Whereas I would have assumed that he would have been embarrassed by it, and he isn't at all. So it's a very different world they're growing up in, and it's a much more tolerant one, and I'm there for it.
Yeah, I think it's just beautiful. And I've seen some of the quotes that you've put up that have come from your twins. 9, did you say?
Yeah.
Like at 9 years of age, and your son, who's just like, I really genuinely don't give, he won't say shit, but I don't give a shit what anybody thinks. Like,
no.
And nor should he, you know. It's just, there's so much we learn from our kids. And
it's us. We care, don't we? Like, I took him into a shop and he said, I want to go to the girls' section because I want a coat. And there aren't any in the boys' section I like the ones in the girls' section. And I said, okay. We went there and he found this pink, sparkly, everything glitter he loves. So he found this coat and he said, I'm going to get this one. And it's me and his stepdad that said, okay, you can have it, but we want to warn you that at school there are going to be some people that will pick on you for having this coat, because we worry about them more than they worry about them. And I'm like, you know, people might make fun of it and say, you know, it's a bit girly, etc. And he just looks at me like I'm mad and goes, oh, so what? Why does it matter if somebody else says, as if I'm the idiot? Like,
yeah.
You know, why would you care about someone saying something about what you look like if you know that you look good?
Yeah.
Like, yeah, okay. And it's right.
I just love it. And I think it really, it leads very beautifully into the other point I wanted to make, where I believe that we are of the generation that is here to change all the shit that went before, you know, because so many of our own insecurities came from our parents. And I know some people grew up in families that weren't very loving or very easy, but plenty of us grew up in very loving households. I've had an amazing, you know, upbringing and still such a good relationship with my parents. And they still say shit to me, even now. Like the other day, my mum literally said to me, at some point, you've just got to realise that you just can't have all the things that you want. I was like, Mum, that's so not what I believe at all. Like, oh my God. Like, you know, and I just think it's our job to draw that line in the sand and to be like, okay. And, you know, as a parent, of course, you want your kids to be okay. Nobody wants their kid to go to school and be bullied. I would be the same way, you know, and I think it's like anything else. You just want your kids to have the very best childhood, to have the very best experience. And especially if you were bullied, you do not want them to go through it. I think it's not so much about hoping they don't get bullied. It's absolutely about what you're doing, which is just giving them their power and being like, look, there are going to be people that don't understand you. Like when you are someone that shines bright, there are going to be people who have not found the light in themselves yet, or it's been dimmed so much that they don't understand that that's in them too. And it's up to us to lead the way and to be fearless and to actually take it on the chin and be like, do you know what? Come at me with your, you know, attacks or whatever you've got, because I know myself. I know why I'm here. I know what it is I'm here to do. And, you know, whatever that identity is, whether it's something physical, something spiritual, I don't think it matters. It's about knowing who you are, standing in that truth and being that beacon. Because the more of us that do that, the brighter the world's going to be. And actually, then the more those people who are currently throwing out, you know, nasty remarks or whatever, those people have light in them too.
Yeah, they do. And yeah. I think that's what I realized this year. They do. And they just need to feel their own self-worth and feel what they have to bring to the party. And it's very hard to help someone do that. You have to wait till they get there.
Totally. Oh God, yeah. And that's hard. I'm a born people pleaser. So it's very devastating to me when somebody doesn't get it. I remember even I was bullied severely in school, and I just remember crying to my mum and dad and just going, but I'm a good person. Like, why don't they
like
me? Why
is this happening?
Yeah. Like, and I'm still like that now. If I can tell that somebody doesn't get me, I'm so desperate. There's part of me that's still so desperate to be like, oh no, wait, let me show you how decent
like me.
Please like me. Yeah. It's so weird. But again, that's just for our own, it's just our own ego, isn't it? We just want to feel okay. And I think the older you get, the less you need that validation. Like, absolutely. I would still like to think that everybody likes me, but I know it's not.
I no longer care at all.
Yeah.
I used to really care. I no longer care at all. I think that I'm not here to be liked by everyone. Yeah. I'm here to do the things I'm supposed to be here to do and to affect the people I'm supposed to be here to affect. I'm a bit do no harm, but take no shit.
Yeah, I love that.
You know, like, don't do anything bad to anybody, but don't let people make you feel like trash because of what they're going through.
Yeah, such an important mindset lesson as well, because even if you're not going to be outwardly bullshy to someone like that, be very careful about what you're taking on as your own truth. You know, I think there's been a theme this week on all of my podcast interviews, and it's all come back to the fact that we know who we are within us. Like, our truth is within us. And the thing I love about this is the last two episodes I did were with super woo-woo spiritual people. And I know that you outwardly say, I'm not so much about the woo-woo, but I do know about mindset and I do know about things that work. And actually, the message has been exactly the same. And so I love that I've had you on, because I like to try and present both sides. And I actually believe that is what is now happening, that we're bringing those two worlds together. It doesn't really matter if you believe in spirituality or not. The truth is, you have truth inside of you, and that is the overriding truth that matters.
Well, that's and what when you... spirituality can be. Like, for me, no, I don't believe in a higher power other than the higher power within me.
Right. Yeah.
You know,
But I would agree, and I call myself spiritual, but I would, it's exactly the same thing. I've just called it spiritual and you've said it's not, like, and it is just a word. It's,
yeah,
it is knowing yourself, it's knowing what you're capable of, and it's learning to trust that. And actually, that's where, you know, you're never, ever, ever, ever going to stop everybody from chucking out, you know, hateful remarks and being assholes, for want of a better expression. And I think, you know, I see these campaigns online trying to stop bullying or trying to stop trolling. Like, trolling is a huge thing now, and it's very important work. But I actually think the more important work is to empower each person to, first of all, not want to be a troll. And second of all, to, if you're on the receiving end of it, to know that that isn't the truth. That's just a version of truth that someone else sees in you. And it's about knowing that you can always come back to what you know is true for you. And that's where I find myself at now, right? My physical surroundings do not support my absolute belief that I'm always okay, that I'll always be supported, that I'm headed for much, much bigger things. Nothing around me supports that. It doesn't matter a shit. I know what's inside of me.
Yeah, that's, and that's what matters. Absolutely. Yeah. And that's how people get through tough times and through obstacles in their life, by knowing what's coming after it, by having that absolute focus on that vision.
Yeah. Yeah. And knowing that, you know, this too shall pass. It's such a brilliant thing to say. You absolutely can choose. And I'm speaking to everybody as someone that is diagnosed with anxiety, would probably be classed as someone very poor in this country. Like, I have to have benefits at the moment. There's no other way. But I don't accept that stigma. I don't accept that as an identity at all. I don't accept that. And I don't think anybody needs to. And I, you know, this is the mistake I think people make when they hear people speaking. They just think, oh, well, then you must have made it to some sort of level. I haven't got to, I've reached that level in certain things for sure. You know, my anxiety no longer owns me, and it used to, right? It actually took my physical voice away. So I've definitely learned some stuff, which is why I do what I do. But for anybody who was listening thinking, oh, well, it's all right for you, you've got this, you've got that, it doesn't matter. Like, this podcast has been running 3 years. We've got over 117,000 downloads, I think it is now. It doesn't matter. It's like you said, it doesn't matter what you achieve. It's not relative to any of that stuff. So sure, go after your goals, achieve what you want to achieve, but don't for 1 minute kid yourself and think that all your problems are going to go away when you get there. Like, we're humans, we signed up for a human experience. The shit show is going to continue, right? We've just got to know that we can endure it. I think that's the point.
And actually enjoy the journey getting there, because one of the things that I've found is, when I was a bit younger, I would do this thing where I was like, when I find the right person, then I'll be happy. When I get married, I'll be happy. When I have a kid, I'll be happy. When I get my first six figures, I'll be happy. None of those things. You will get to a thing and you will want the next thing. It will never make you happy. You have to enjoy the getting there. And some of my happiest memories are when I had nothing.
Yeah. Yeah. I relate to that. I can totally relate to that. I would just love to close this interview off by asking you, what would you have said to Lisa Johnson 4 or 5 years ago, or like any point in your life where it did not look the way that it looks now? What would you say to that person?
To not be in a hurry to get where you think you want to go, and just to enjoy the journey. Because once you get there, there'll be a load of other things that will happen, and you will look back on this struggle, the, you know, trying to get there with fondness. You won't look back on it how you think you're going to look back on it. I always used to think, oh, when I get out of here, I'll be really happy. But actually, I have rose-tinted glasses about those times where actually the struggle, when you make 50 quid when you're in struggle, it's a massive thing. When I make 250 grand now in a month, I shrug it off, because it's not as exciting as it used to be when it was like you were doing things because you needed it. When you do things because you want it, something has to change. And that's why in my life, the bigger picture has changed. It's no longer about money for me. It's great that I'm earning money and that my clients are, but there has to be something more to it than that. You have to be driving for something more, to leave a legacy or to leave something.
Totally. Yeah, I so agree with that. Thank you so much. What an amazing interview this has been.
It's been fun.
To everybody listening, we want to hear from you. I would love to hear your takeaways from this episode. So get in touch in all the normal ways. I'm going to put the links into the show notes. You can email me, lilybadcock@gmail.com. You can come into the Facebook group. Lisa, if people want to find you, what's the best way for them to do that?
Easiest way is Instagram at Lisa Johnson Coaching.
Easy peasy, and we'll put a link there as well. Thank you so much once again for giving us your time.
No worries, it's been nice to be here. Thank you for having me.
You're welcome. To everyone listening, remember, confidence is yours as soon as you choose it. Go out there right now, find something to be grateful for, start enjoying the journey. I'm definitely going to be trying to slow myself down and press pause after that wonderful advice. So I will see you again for another episode very, very soon. Sending lots of love.
You've been listening to Lily Badcock on the Confidence Academy podcast, as if you didn't know that. Thank you so much for being here. Please, please show me some love by subscribing to the show and giving it a rate and review on iTunes. And of course, if you know anyone who needs this show in their life, please pass it on and share the love. Now, if you have an inspiring story that you want to share on my show, then please get in touch using the link in the show notes below. And don't forget, you can hang out with me live every week in the Facebook group, so I'll look forward to seeing you there. Finally, make sure that you've joined my mailing list so I can shower you with love on the daily and give you a heads up about all of the exciting things that are happening over here in Lilyland. Things like my online choir that is now live. Grab your free trial and join the mailing list by clicking the link in the show notes or visit lilybadcock.com for all of the information. Thank you again for being here. See you again soon. Big love.